Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us, to call in, and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Rita Halk Lane, back with you again after a couple of weeks. I'm very happy to be here and to spend the next hour with you. Before we get started, I have a couple of announcements. One of them is that this is my last broadcast on Friday evenings, and Kathleen, the president of the network, has offered me my own show, and I will be moving till Mondays from 5 to 6 o'clock p.m., and I'm very excited about it. The name of the show will be Into the Deep, and I will share with you on Monday why I chose that name and what we're going to focus on. But I hope you'll join me on Monday from Mondays on from 5 to 6 p.m. And pray for me, because this is not anything I thought I would ever be doing, but the Lord has revealed to me through Kathleen and various other situations that it is something that He wants me to do. And I want to do it His way, not my way. So I appreciate that. And also the second announcement is, and you've heard it before, Kathleen and Father Dermot Roche will be having a wonderful, I'm sure, retreat at Malvern Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania, from Friday, February 23rd through Sunday, midday, the 25th. You can stay over there, which I highly recommend. It costs some money, but you have all of your meals and wonderful, wonderful fellowship with others, and all of the retreat speaking and healing service and all these wonderful things to get away. There's a Bible verse that says, "Come away, my beloved." The Lord loves it when we sacrifice our time and come away with Him and with each other. If you've never been to a retreat like this, you've got to go. And I'll tell you why. Because when you're there, you're in union with other seekers and other believers. And the joy is unbelievably beautiful. So I really encourage you to go. The theme is Rekindle the Fire. And they quote Psalm 66 in the flyer. It says, "Blessed be God who filled my soul with fire. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of His name and proclaim His glorious praise." There's nothing better than that. So please, check out malvernretreat.com for rates. And when you go to the website, click up in the right-hand corner and a menu will pop up, and then click on calendar and then scroll down to February 23rd through 25th, and it'll pop up Rekindle the Fire with Kathleen and Father Roche, and it'll give you all the particulars. Or you can call them at 610-644-0400. Okay? You will not regret it. Before I joined the Catholic Church, I read a book written by, I believe he was an Anglican layperson, on the value and beauty of going on retreats, even if it's a one-day retreat, anytime, afternoon retreat. So it resonated with me, and I decided that I would check it out. And where I lived, there were no... I didn't live in a very populated area, and there weren't any places to go on retreat. But when I moved here, there are many places to go to, and many not too far away, even if you want to drive a little bit. So check it out. You will grow and be so happy, and especially since it's Kathleen and Father Roche. I pray that the Lord will bless this time that we are together and really enhance our understanding of what he has given me to speak with you about today. I want to revisit 2 weeks ago. I talked to you about at the very end of the show. I had a really profound experience in confession that day, and I just wanted to kind of revisit that because I was rushed. You know, the show went a little longer than I anticipated, but Kathleen actually mentioned this priest last night on her show, Father Amorth. Amorth, I think, is how you pronounce his name. And he is a, or was, I should say, one of the main exorcists in the Catholic Church. And many, many years, he was an exorcist and really worked on that. I'm pretty sure he's passed away. But he's highly respected and had all of this experience, and he said many times, I have written that Satan is much more enraged when we priests take souls away from him through confession than when we actually exorcise them from bodies. And he knows, because he, you know, the evil one would tell him things when he was, exorcising people. They speak out on what they hate. They don't love anything, but they sure speak out on what they hate. And here are some words of our Lord to St. Faustina about the power of confession. Jesus said this to her, write and speak of my mercy. Tell souls where they are to look for solace. That is, in the tribunal of mercy, the confessional. There the greatest miracles take place and are incessantly repeated. To avail oneself of this miracle, it is not necessary to go on a great pilgrimage or to carry out some external ceremony. It suffices to come with faith to the feet of my representative, a priest, and to reveal to him one's misery, and the miracle of divine mercy will be fully demonstrated. The miracle of divine mercy restores that soul in full. Oh, how miserable are those who do not take advantage of the miracle of my mercy. And one last little thing here. Confession is, and this is from an article from Father Ken Garaci. I have attended retreats with him, and I really admire him. And he says at the end of this article, confession is one of the greatest and most powerful resources we have in fighting the evil one. This is because it frees us from his grasp, heals the inner wounds that cause us to sin, fills us with sanctifying grace, and strengthens us for the battle. Confession is the field hospital for the soul. It puts us back together so we can get back in the fight. And those of you who know scripture know that St. Paul said that we are not in a battle with human beings. We are in battle with spiritual forces who are trying to destroy us every moment. And we're not to be afraid, because Jesus said, I have, in this world you will have troubles, but I have overcome the world. So the power of the Holy Spirit in us walks all over the evil one, if we just know that we have that power and live in it. I brought up that about confession because Lent is coming up next Wednesday, and it's also Valentine's Day, which is kind of interesting. But I just wanted to encourage you to go to confession now, before you start your Lenten program or adventure. I love Lent. Absolutely love it. I'm always going around telling people Happy Lent, because in Lent you can really get in touch with with the Lord through extra prayer, extra giving more to others, both monetarily and your time, your talents. There's just so many riches to be received in Lent. But prepare a little in advance. But to me, a lot of people wait to right before Easter to go to confession. I think going to confession now is really a wonderful thing. And it sets the tone, so to speak. And like I said last 2 weeks ago, I had a very profound and, in my opinion, miraculous experience in confession 2 weeks ago before the show. And it was so profound for me that I actually cried for at least 10 minutes after I had left from being with Father Monsignor Jagodzinski, my confessor, because the Lord confirmed something very important for me through him, and we both rejoiced in that. It was something I really needed, and so I'm telling you, if you know a priest that appeals to you somehow and really you really feel you can trust him, make an appointment. Don't be embarrassed or shy. Make an appointment. Go and see them personally now and sit down and talk to them. And then if that goes well for you, make appointments to let him be your regular confessor, because they get to know you and they get to understand where you're coming from, and they can make really powerful, amazing suggestions to you. Not just about sin, but just about life and about your adventure with Jesus Christ. So please, I'm just sharing that with you. And also, back when I was Lutheran, one of the things that our pastor said to us, we were discussing various things that were Catholic, and one of the things was confession. And, you know, Lutherans, to my knowledge, still don't have confession. They did in the early days, but they departed from that. And he said to us, in this little group we were in, that he wished that they had it back again, because there's nothing like having someone tell you that your sins are forgiven. We can all go into our rooms and confess our sins, but in the Catholic Church, there's extraordinary grace in confession. And to have him say, there's nothing like having someone tell you your sins are forgiven, tell you to your face, versus wondering because you haven't had it told to you. It really is a real joy, and I just want to encourage you to do that. I want to focus on something that's very sad, but the reason I want to focus on it is because there's always a silver lining. There's always good that comes out of sadness and evil and suffering, and I want to kind of lay the groundwork for that a little bit. But don't go away because it's sad, or that it's something that you're not really wanting to hear on Friday. So anyway, I belong to St. Pius X Parish in Broomall, and we had a very tragic thing happen to one of our families this week. On the 1st. Little Benny Petransky, died unexpectedly, 2 years old, unexpectedly. He had a slight fever, then it went away, and he had a slight fever, and it went away, and his father, you know, he and his brother and mom and dad were all sleeping in the same bed, and the father got up early to go to the gym, and a little Benny was being little 2 year old Benny, and he fed him his bottle, and he went off to the gym. Well, when he came back from the gym, the mother, you know, I guess woke up or had just gotten up, and Benny was unresponsive. It was just like that, boom, gone. And it devastating, absolutely devastating. It's the whole parish. Our hearts are just broken because of this beautiful boy being gone so unexpectedly, and for the parents and family members and friends that have been just, you know, there's no words for this kind of thing happening. But I can tell you some beautiful things have happened out of it. You've probably seen the story on the local and national news. It was such a shock. And they haven't fully understood, they really don't know at this point what happened to this little boy. There was an autopsy, and the report isn't back yet that I know of. But anyway, it was on local news. And as I said, it was my parish, and the family were members of our parish, active members of our parish. But there were and still are blue lights, balloons, whirligigs, and signs everywhere in Delaware County, in the Philly area, and especially in Broomall. Homes, businesses, streets, our whole town is full of beautiful blue lights in honor and remembrance of little Benny. If you go online and Google it, you will find pictures of it, you know, drone pictures of our town lit up in blue. When I was driving home the other night, even the Lawrence Park Shopping Center had, you know, they have snowflakes up for the wintertime, and they had turned those snowflakes blue. I got so choked up because that is such a statement of unity and beauty in the midst of such sorrow. For his funeral on Wednesday, for his funeral at our parish, there were so many, the parking lot was full. There were people lined all up and down Lawrence Road to support this family. They had to close the road because there were just people everywhere showing their hearts. And the parish has shared in their grief in a very personal way. And these beautiful expressions and signs of love, support, and unity are what sustains us in difficult times. They give us hope, you know, and they encourage us and strengthen us. Benny's mom and dad, Natalie and Eric Petransky, both posted messages on Facebook expressing some of their thoughts and feelings, and of course, heartbreaking, but within these posts, one can see the profound effects of faith and community, church community, on their grief and their hopes for the future. And I know that the Lord is working in their lives in a profound way, and in the parish, and in the people who are aware of what's going on there. It's a profound effect. Faith is not something dead or something dreamed of. It is focused on and fed and nourished by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And it's been a very beautiful thing to see, although very heartbreaking. So please pray for their family and for the parish. You know, if you're driving around Broomall, check out the blue. And be grateful. Help us be grateful for the community of faith that we belong to. The other thing is, I wanted to share with you another sad story about unexpected death. But again, to encourage you because of the faith and the beauty of what happens in that. I want to share with you a post that my dear friend Holly Drake put on her Facebook page. It was a journal entry from her husband, Jason. We've been friends for a very, very long time, and they are very devout Christians. They're not Catholic, but they're definitely devout Christians. They love the Lord. Their marriage and their family life revolves around Jesus Christ. And I want to read you Jason's journal entry because it shows how beautiful You know, the Lord said that he would send us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He said, blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. These are promises that Jesus has made to us. And it's true. It's so true. And although we're sad about these things, it's important to look at how people get through these things so that we can be encouraged. And maybe if you're not a believer, you might see that there's something to this that you haven't experienced before or known before. So I share this with you. Holly says this, my husband writes a daily devotional, and this was one for today. I can honestly say, as Jason's wife, that he has built his life on the promises of God. It makes the bad news of life livable, an anchor for the soul. And Jason wrote, what can you lean on? And then he quotes Psalm 112, 7, verse 7. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. I love that. That's so beautiful. I'll never forget the Saturday afternoon I received a call from France, from someone I did not even know, who told me my oldest son, Brian, was involved in a serious accident. The strange reality that hit me was like something from the Twilight Zone. As I made arrangements to fly to Switzerland, the loving kindness of the Lord was evident, as even my employer offered incredible assistance and godly people prayed. The next few days were certainly painful as he succumbed to the injuries and the loss we felt overwhelmed us. But the tangible peace that swept over me was also real. And I was continually reminded that God is still in control. What could I lean on during such an upheaval in my life? I intentionally replaced the hurtful thoughts with verses of Scripture, the very words of God that were intended for me to hear and understand. No, this wasn't easy, and the tears would flood back into my eyes at times, but these were not born out of fear or dread. I believe the Lord grieved with us as he looked at our loss. But as I fixed my mind on the Bible, it became a supporting force that steadied me and washed away the other emotions like blame and anger that could have taken hold. The Holy Spirit kept saying, trust in the Lord. He will bring good out of this because he is good. The verses I read reminded me of his intentions toward me and my family, and how he understands me, my weaknesses, my insecurities, and my failings. He also knows that this life is not the way he intended, and that the pain we feel will not be part of our eternity with him. But the strength of the Scriptures did not come from a dusty old Bible that had been on the shelf for years. My memory was stirred by many verses I had memorized and passages I had read day after day to give me strength to handle the smaller storms. When this big one hit, my heart was prepared to trust him, even though I was in a foreign land trying to handle things I could not make sense out of. I had built my life on trusting in his word. Have you? Not only did the Lord bring people alongside us to comfort and help us, but he brought many to us that we would never have met. People that were the fruit of our son's life, that God wanted us to relate to, and to show how a person who is trusting God goes through such times. This story is not over, but it is his love expressed through people and his word that gives us a firm faith to lean on. Build your life on him today. He's talking to us, this father who lost his firstborn son. Build your life on him today, Jesus Christ. Dig into the Bible this morning and establish your thoughts on his at the beginning of the day. Being ready for the difficulties in life starts with a foundation you must build now. And that's the end of that. And, you know, it's what he says is very true, and it's what I've said for years in the Bible study that I lead at my parish. When we draw close to the Lord deliberately, in our prayer life, in studying or at least pondering His Word in the Bible, joining groups that are seeking the Lord and worshiping in church, being a part of a church community, when these things happen, what you receive is unbelievable. There are riches and treasures in that. You find out that you are extremely rich in love and support when these tragedies strike. You want to be ready for these things. You don't want to be a person who has neglected their prayer life, neglected learning about the Lord and His Word, neglected the sacraments, neglected confession, neglected friendships and community at church. You want to be a person who has filled your life with that and let the Lord minister to you in advance, because we all experience tragedies. We all experience losses and think, this isn't heaven, y'all. This is not heaven. This life is filled with beauty and wonderful things. It's a wonderful adventure, but it's also filled with sorrow and sadness. And if we are a part of a community of faith, we will be able to withstand the storms. Not only will we be strengthened within ourselves, but we also will be strengthened and supported by those around us. And, of course, by God Himself. It's a deep and extraordinary love and support that is different than the other kinds in the world. It is because Jesus is truly present within the church and in that family of the church because He promised that when two or three are gathered in My name, I am there in an extraordinary way in the midst of them, in a way that is more profound and special than when we're just in our prayer closets alone. That's important. Do not neglect that. But to be in community, in faith, that is key. And it encourages us because we see the beauty of that faith community. We're not just listening to the news and to people who don't know what they're talking about, or who are talking purely from pain, that try to label the church and the people in it as, you know, bigots and hateful people and idiots who believe in something that there's no proof of because they don't see it. Well, they don't see it because they're not in the church seeing it, because the proof is absolutely in the church. You go, you become a part of it, and you are in it, and you share yourself with others, and they share with you. The Spirit of God speaks volumes in that community. And we're going to be taking a break in just a minute, and I want to come back to you and talk a little bit more about the church. Please don't go away. And I also want to talk to you about the global phenomenon, the Chosen shows. I saw the season 4's first three episodes yesterday at the theater. And so we'll be back. Stay tuned.
This is Pat Lally. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years, so it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself, but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world, and wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for listening. I hope that even though it was sad information that I shared with you in the last half hour, that you were encouraged by what I said at the end. Now I'd like to focus a little bit on the show's called The Chosen. Google it online. If you have not been watching this, there's been three completed seasons, and now the fourth season has come out, and this show focuses not so much on Jesus, but on the people he chose to follow him, and what, you know, some of it is absolutely based on biblical stories, but they've taken some poetic license, and they have, it's obviously powered by the Lord, because they have taken the disciples and the followers of Jesus and developed their personalities in a way that we can, you know, some people have, that we can relate to. Some people have decided, you know, that they don't really like, you know, certain portrayals of different apostles and followers and even Mary, Mother of Jesus. But what they're trying to do is help us to be able to relate to them as real people like us when Jesus called them, and how they grew like we do when we are in relationship with him. And they created their characters to be relatable, like we, so that we could see ourselves in them, in one or more of them, and really be encouraged, because they weren't perfect. They were very flawed and very human, and like us, and we're all on a journey, and so were they, and it's really beautifully done. Really beautifully done. If you open your heart and your mind to it, and please. In this critical day where everything is criticized and everything is nothing's enjoyed, you know, enjoy it. It's absolutely one of the most beautiful things that I have ever experienced. And I saw the first three episodes of season four yesterday in the movie theater. And this season, I saw an interview by the woman who plays Mary Magdalene, and they were asking her different questions, and one of the things that she said is different about this season is they are really focusing in a special way on what is happening to the followers of Jesus as a group. Okay, there are tragedies and challenges to these followers, and how they are family, are grouped together, and like it's, you can see the beginning of the church in the season four, because they support and love each other. They are, you know, it's obvious Jesus has created this community for their sake, okay, for the disciples and followers' sake. The community is essential, absolutely essential. And you, if you haven't watched the first three seasons, please go and watch them. And because season four will be around, it's in the theaters now for a couple of reasons. There, it is helping them to raise money, but it's primarily when you watch it on the big screen, it's like, I love the way they have filmed this, because they film it as if you are right there in the midst of it. You're sitting around the campfires. You are in the streets with the people. You're standing beside Jesus, looking at him and listening to him. You are really in this show if you choose to be. It's really beautifully done. And so go back and watch the first three seasons. And then this season they released in the theater, like I said, but it's also to show not only on the big screen the impact of that, but also to show Hollywood that, you know, we're a force to be reckoned with. There is a real draw. People are interested in Jesus Christ. They are interested in being followers, at least seeking to know him. And so it's been a global phenomenon. It's so unbelievably beautiful. So and it will be out on DVDs, and it'll be streaming after they've released all the episodes of this season four over this next month. Okay, it's my understanding that it should be done by March, by the beginning of March. That might be delayed a little bit, who knows, but that's my understanding. So anyway, and if you have seen all three seasons, go and support them in the movie theaters. I know it's not cheap, but it's really, it just comes so alive on the big screen. Anyway, Jesus created the church because he knew we would need it. And if you don't believe that, go and watch The Chosen, and you'll see the beginnings of it and why. Anyway, within the church, and you will see that in The Chosen. You see it multiple times. I'm sure that if you've ever belonged to a church, you see it often. There are imperfect people in the church. I'm surprised to hear that. No. If you have spent any time in church, you will know it. And I wish to share something with those of you who have stopped going to church because you were hurt by someone there, or are angry with some of the things you hear about going on in the church. Whether you're a Catholic Christian or a non-Catholic Christian, you know, these things happen everywhere. And I'm talking to all of you. Or maybe you quit going to church because of the priest abuse scandal, you know, that's been going on off and on for a few years now. I want to share something with you. First of all, I really understand where you're coming from if you're one of those injured persons. A few years ago, I had an experience in my parish that so injured and hurt me that I didn't even know who I was anymore. I have been active and a leader in my parish ever since the year 2001. I had joined the church in 1999, and I had been so filled with joy. I've told you about that. But I waited a year. I'd been active in my other churches before I became Catholic, and I waited a year in prayer and attended various things and to kind of grow into and to see what was available to do, because I had to share. I had to share that joy, you know, that peace of mind, the beauty. I would pull into the parking lot and look at my parish building and say, I'll get tears in my eyes. I am the most blessed woman in the world. And I really believed that, and I know other people are as blessed as I am, if not more, but I really believe that in my heart. And so when this thing happened, and I'm not going to go into details, it was so painful and so devastating for me. So I was so shocked by it that I almost couldn't breathe. I really honestly didn't know what God wanted me to do anymore, or where I was supposed to go with this, or what I was supposed to do with it. But one thing I did know was that I had grown in my faith so much and had learned over the years that when these things happen, don't run away from them. Don't run away from the people or the church. Whatever you do, don't do that. Because we have to cling to Jesus. And he has promised us numerous times in Scripture and in church teachings that he is with us always, and that he will bring good out of all evil, all hurt and all pain. And so I clung to him. I kept going to Mass and to church. I kept serving him in the capacities that I knew he still wanted me to serve him in. And I persevered, but I asked him to teach me and to reveal to me what I could learn in that pain and distress. I knew that he had not abandoned me, even though I felt alone. I wasn't, and I knew that, because I trusted in what I had learned and what I had experienced in my past. And so I suffered over that for like 4 years, trying to discern, why did this happen to me, Lord? What are you trying to say to me through this? What are you teaching me through this? And over time, I forgave the situation and the person involved in it, and I really did grow in my faith. And the reason I share this is I really am speaking, please, to those of you who have been injured, whose hearts have been broken beyond almost all imagination and repair by someone who claimed to be Christian, or who was a Christian who really hurt you anyway, or who, someone who's walked away from the church because of the scandals or because of things that are happening, and they're just, you know, I heard a woman on the radio the other day, I'm just sick and tired of all of this. You know, I don't want to be Catholic anymore. Well, I'm praying that you will open your hearts and listen to what I have to say. I'd like to focus on Judas for a minute. Judas was one of the chosen apostles by Jesus Christ himself, chosen to be an apostle. He walked side by side with Jesus. He taught with Jesus. He served with Jesus. He was highly respected in the community people knew he was a part of the inner circle of Jesus. And so they trusted him. They followed him. They worked with him. He was very special. Okay? Just like the other apostles and disciples. However, being human, he seriously faltered and caused great tragedies. And we don't really know all of his motivation. The scriptures are somewhat silent on that. There is a mention that he, you know, being a person who had been in charge of monies and things like that, was greedy. And as you well know, he betrayed Jesus for 30 shekels of silver. And there have been some theologians who have said that he may very well have thought that he would help Jesus along with his ministry. He may have gotten impatient with Jesus, wanting Jesus to stand up and defeat the Romans and have this kingdom where he would be king, Jesus would be king, and the disciples would be his officers, and they would, you know, he may have gotten impatient because Jesus wasn't doing what he wanted him to do, or he might have twisted in his mind what Jesus was teaching. Maybe he even took the money, not for himself so much, but for the ministry that one day, you know, would happen. If Jesus got arrested, maybe he would exert his power and come into his kingdom more quickly or something like that. Maybe he had good intentions. We don't know. Maybe he was just greedy. We don't know. But he faltered and caused great tragedies. He became a person people couldn't trust anymore. I have a question. Do you think the people who really knew Jesus, really knew him and followed him, who had listened to him and believed in him, left him because of their broken trust in Judas and all the damage he did? Do you think the people that really knew Jesus personally walked away from him because of Judas? I don't think so. I don't think so. And we read about the church staying faithful. And even though Judas betrayed Jesus and put him at risk, he also did the same to the disciples. You know, we don't focus on that very much because we think of Judas betraying Jesus. But in reality, he betrayed everyone around him, not just Jesus. He put them all at serious risk because they all realized, because of what happened with Jesus, that they could be arrested. They may even be killed, because the Romans were known for their nastiness towards the Christians. And so they knew they were probably all at least going to prison. So Judas betrayed the whole community. The whole community. And so if anybody had, you know, and if anybody had the, I guess you would say, motivation to leave Jesus, because of the people that followed him or represented him, it would be those people at that time, because, you know, Jesus didn't, you know, protect them from all of those kind of people, from Judas. So why didn't he do that, you know, kind of thing, that kind of attitude? But the reason I bring that up is because, It sounds familiar. All right. These priests who have caused dissension in the church, these priests who have not done correctly with the abuse scandal, these priests who have hurt us, the members of the church who have hurt us, the organizations that have rejected us, many, many things have happened over the history of the church. But we can't forget that we can't leave Jesus because of them. And there will always be Judases, these kind of people in the church. They've been there since the beginning. They're still there. They will be there tomorrow. But what does that mean for us? The church is filled with imperfect people. I'm one of them. If you go to church, you're one of them. There are no such things. There's no one perfect in the church except Jesus Christ himself. Pope Francis has called the church a field hospital. There's a reason for that. We all need healing. We're all imperfect. We need healing of mind, body, and soul. And the church offers us that healing through the sacraments, through our prayer life, through the support of each other. We grow in a special way when we are in church. And we cannot walk away from Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament because someone has hurt us, because we're angry, because the church, Jesus is truly present there. He waits for us. His heart breaks when we walk away. Just like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, they would fall asleep. They wouldn't pay attention to him. He needed them. And they needed him, but they were sleepy and didn't realize what was happening. When he was arrested, they ran away because they couldn't believe that Jesus was being arrested and they were at risk, and they hated Judas for it, you know. But Jesus is still there. He's still there and believe me, he's definitely in the Blessed Sacrament, fully present in the Blessed Sacrament. He said he would be, and he is. And someone who grew up without him and knows the treasure of that and has experienced amazing things through that, I can tell you that he is truly present there. He is waiting for you. His heart is broken if you have walked away from the church. Let me read you a couple of things. Obviously, if you're ill or have issues where you can't get to church, you don't have a ride or whatever, that's different. But if you're able-bodied and have a way to get there, please, please, please try again. Because it breaks his heart when you're too busy or you think that it's okay not to be with him because of the flaws of other people. Here are some quotes, because he gave everything for the church. He gave everything he possibly could. He gave his life, his Holy Spirit, everything. So anyway, here are some quotes of Jesus to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque that broke my heart when I read them. These are private revelations. You don't have to believe what this says, but I believe, because it's really in union with what you read in sacred scripture. Here's one of the things he said to her. "There it is. My heart so deeply in love with humankind, it spared no means of proof, wearing itself out until I was utterly spent." I'll read that again. "There it is. My heart so deeply in love with humankind, it spares no means of proof, wearing itself out until it was utterly spent. This meets with scant appreciation from most of them. All I get back is ingratitude. witness their irreverence, their sacrileges, their coldness and contempt for me in the blessed sacrament of love, the Holy Eucharist. Then he says, "Behold my heart, which loves so much, yet it is so little loved. Do me the kindness, you at least, of making up for all their ingratitude as far as you can." And then to St. Faustina, he said, "My heart overflows with great mercy for souls, and especially for poor sinners." Remember, Jesus hung out with the people that most religious people thought were, you know, evil and horrible people to hang around, the ones who were the most challenged in their moral life. He hung out with them because he loves them. He loves you. He loves each one of us. And there's no one beyond hope or reconciliation with him. And trust me, please trust me, that what he gives is so profoundly beautiful. He loves you so much. Give him a chance. Anyway, let me start over. I got off on that. To St. Faustina, he says, "My heart overflows with great mercy for souls, and especially for poor sinners. I desire to bestow my graces upon souls, but they do not want to accept them. You at least come to me as often as possible and take these graces they do not want to accept. In this way, you will console me." You will console me. Remember when Jesus came to Jerusalem on the donkey, and he was looking out over Jerusalem. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, my Jerusalem, oh, that you knew what I wanted to give you." It was basically my paraphrase, but that's what he was saying. His heart breaks because he wants to give us so much, and we just won't accept that. Won't say yes. Won't say, "Come, Lord Jesus, heal the pain that I have. Heal the issues that I have with the church. I'm coming back to you." Not to the people, not to the to the priests and everything. "I'm coming back to you. Heal me so that I can come back for the people. I can come back for the priests." And then you will console him. Jesus promised to be with the church always to the end of the world. As promised, he's still within the church through his word, through the sacred scriptures of the Bible, in the church teachings, in our worship, in other believers, and especially in the Holy Eucharist. There we are nurtured and carried along in our lives in a way that's totally different from anywhere else in our life. So as Lent begins next week, please, 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 give Jesus another chance. Return to your church, whether you're Catholic or of another denomination. Return to your church. If you find it too painful to go to the church you've belonged to for a while, find another one. Give Jesus another chance to show you who he really is. And especially get close to him in the Holy Eucharist if you're Catholic. So anyway, my time is pretty much up. I pray that God will bless you and keep you and let his face shine on you and give you peace. I pray that your Lenten experience will be magnificent as it comes up. Please join me on Monday for my new show, Into the Deep, from 5 to 6 p.m. on the same station and Facebook page. And don't forget Kathleen and Father Dermot Roche's retreat that begins on Friday, February 23rd through the 25th at Malvern Retreat House. I will be there, and if you can, say hi. God bless you.